Welcome into Saturday morning's edition of Riddle and the Reporter. Junie Riddle, Nick Keyser, and Nick Frazier behind the glass live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studio. You can also watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Download their app and use promo code THEGAME today. Fellas, happy Saturday. We finally made it to the weekend. Training camp kicked off this week. How was everybody's week? How we doing?
Good. Now, I got burned at training camp the first day that I was out there.
Sunburned?
Yes.
You got sunburned?
I did.
Oh, man.
But that's okay. That's okay. It's not that bad anymore. It was a lot worse a few days ago. So I'm okay, but it was fun to go out there, kind of take in the first bit of practice and see what the press conference was like. It was interesting comments from Kevin Byard, and hearing that Tannehill also got asked to do the quarterback series, and now knowing what it was, I'm kind of glad that it was Kirk Cousins. But
I am so happy you brought that up, because I kind of have a hot take.
Ooh, okay.
I have a hot take. I think Ryan Tannehill is going to be on quarterback
season two.
Now, and I'm going to tell you why real quick, because we talked about this last week. We talked about the documentary. Mm-hmm. And when you put in a guy like Kirk Cousins, I think Ryan Tannehill and Kirk Cousins are like the AFC and NFC version of one another.
Absolutely.
Kirk Cousins has, you know, he has better O-line, he has better receivers, but I think they're kind of very similar. Maybe Ryan Tannehill's just a little bit more mobile, not as great of a passer, and Kirk Cousins more stationary, and he's probably a better thrower of the football. But they're the same kind of caliber of player. I think, you know, and they're both being really good guys off the field. I think with the positive response that we have gotten from Kirk Cousins, because I'm now a Kirk Cousins fan. I'm not going to lie to you. Because of the quarterback documentary, I am a Kirk Cousins fan. I think Ryan Tannehill saw that and is seeing how the national narrative around Kirk Cousins is changing. And I think that he's going to try and be on quarterback season.
Oh, 100%. I think there's a lot of room to think about it. He has not been asked to do it yet. So we'll see if it does happen here in the next few weeks or so, because when they start filming for it, it's typically around that preseason time to get to know them. So we'll see what that turns into. But Joe Burrow, remember, he was actually asked about it as well. I feel like most starting quarterbacks have been asked about it now that training camp is underway. So we know about a few of them. So I'm curious to see who they end up landing on. And I think just because of the storyline that we got from Kirk, it is very appealing to go over to Ryan Tannehill, so we'll see what it looks like, Junie. But training camp has been good, I would say, so far this week. We've seen a lot of progress from rookies of the past season coming into this season, and one guy that I know that everyone's been talking about has been Treylon Burks and how comfortable he looks. And so the way that he threw it out there on Caroline Willie and D-Mace, talking about how comfortable he was at the workouts because he stayed back in Nashville all season. He went back to Arkansas for like 2 weeks, I think is what he said. And now he's back here in Nashville. He's preparing himself for war, essentially. And he's going to try to be one of these leaders in the offense. So among others, I just think he stands out as well to kick things off at training camp. But it's good to have football back, Junie, because I know right around, what is it, a couple weeks from now, we'll have the NFL Hall of Fame game, correct?
No, this upcoming Thursday.
Okay, so this
August
week.
3rd, this upcoming week, helmets and pads are going to get put on, ladies and gentlemen, and we are going to have a football game.
And then you'll have college football, too.
College football is coming up later in the month at the tail end of August. It's literally less than a month away.
Yeah.
I know I've had a couple cups of coffee this morning. Maybe I'm a little bit energized than I should be. But, guys, like, football is back.
Yes.
Like, this is what we've all been waiting for. It has been such a slow summer. I mean, we've had some headlines. Don't get me wrong. I'm blessed for all the headlines that we have gotten and been able to talk about. When you're talking about getting into the nitty-gritty of fall sports, you know, football's coming back. That's going to hold us over until hockey season. And then that October area where the sports matrix happens and everybody's playing is
yep.
great. But you mentioned Treylon Burks. We're going to get into some of the positives later this hour. Coming up at 9:30, we are going to talk to the Predators' 7th-round draft pick, David Poile's last draft pick ever as the Predators GM, Aiden Fink. He will be joining us at 9:30. So we're going to get into some Titans positives and negatives a little bit later in the show. But some other negatives around some training camps around the country. Joe Burrow goes down in an 11-on-11 drill, scrambles out of the pocket, and then starts limping, grabbing his calf, and has to get carted off the field. Zach Taylor, head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, came out and said that it is a calf strain, that he's going to be out for the next couple weeks. So that's definitely something to monitor. But for Bengals fans and a lot of NFL fans, a sigh of relief that this wasn't a little bit more serious than what we could have thought it was initially when we saw the video. So what was your reaction to that?
Oh, wow. It scares me every single time I see a guy, because like he was hopping up on his one leg and he was holding it up. And
it's
so,
non-contact injury,
I
too.
I know, and that's what scared me was Joe Burrow in the middle of a drill tries. I mean, it wasn't like – I don't think he looked like he was scrambling necessarily. He was getting free out of the pocket to make a throw. It was just such a strange motion for him to kind of go through right there. But also, too, before the injury even happened, Junie, he was also wearing a sleeve already over there, too, on his legs. So not to read into he's nursing something currently, but most guys that wear that, it's for, you know, hey, I'm trying to be cautious. It's training camp. I'm trying to get back into the swing of things. But also, guys just do it out of comfortability as well. But seeing him go down the way he did, look, I immediately go ACL because I've been there. I've done that. I know what it feels like. And it's a non-contact injury. It most of the time is. And so I really thought he either sprained his meniscus or his knee or something along the lines like his ankle. But the way he immediately held it up in half of a second, it scared me a lot. But I'm glad that he's better off than what maybe we had thought initially. But one other guy was not as lucky, Junie, and that would be Jalen Ramsey.
And we have some audio, Garofalo, on Jalen Ramsey's injury on 728 and what implications that might have going forward.
If it's a meniscus trim, you're talking around 6 weeks, which is right up against the start of the season. So that is the timeline that we're looking at right now via sources. That's the best hope for Jalen Ramsey. This is the best case scenario based on the mechanism of how he injured himself today in practice.
So that was Garofalo talking about Jalen Ramsey. Again, he got carted off the field as well. It seems as if that's nothing serious. He's probably just going to get a little extra rest, maybe miss the first week or so of the season. But in the long haul, I feel like overall a good situation for the Dolphins, who have really high expectations. Like, I don't think a lot of people are talking about the Dolphins this year, especially on the defensive side of things. But you add a guy like Jalen Ramsey on the other side of Xavien Howard, and that's probably one of the better 1-2 corner punches in the league. And Warren Sharp actually came out and did a top 22 rankings. I think he's going to do all 32. But his top defensive front seven in the entire NFL this year is the Miami Dolphins, and nobody's talking about it. You know, they drafted that kid Phillips out of Miami, and he had a really good rookie year last year, and they traded for Bradley Chubb from the Broncos at the edge rusher position. David Long Jr. as well, if he can stay healthy. That front seven and secondary all looking really good, and we know the kind of firepower that Miami has, so Jalen Ramsey is going to be a huge key to this team, and especially with that big-time matchup against the Chargers, you know, week one against Justin Herbert and company, they're going to definitely want him back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, they really will, and the fact that he already had surgery, he had it yesterday at 1 p.m., so for that sake, he's already on top of it. It was a few days removed, less than really. And now he's going to be back on track to be a healthy corner. He's a dangerous corner, that's for damn sure. And so I'd be glad to see what he looks like once he comes back out of it. But Junie, training camp, you're going to see injuries. I remember even Corey Curtis asked Mike Vrabel the other day about having all the 90 guys there. And he goes, it's the first day.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, it is the first day, Mike. But you know what? You have 90 out here. Nobody got hurt the first day. Didn't see anyone really miss other than the couple of days. The only person I've been curious about that has not been out there the entire time has been Josh Wiley.
Yes.
So I'm really wondering why that is.
I think I saw a tweet from TD yesterday. And again, we were so busy yesterday with the Game Summer Ticket Tour, so I might have read this wrong. But I think he might have tweeted that he was out there yesterday.
He was not.
Okay. Maybe I read that wrong. Like I said, I was not. If you follow me on Twitter, you did not see a lot of action yesterday. We were busy as all could be out at Homegrown Tap Room for the Game Summer Ticket Tour. Gave out maybe like 40 pairs.
There were really good things yesterday. I was listening when Jarrett started.
Oh, it was a packed house.
And it was definitely crammed. And there were a lot of good giveaways. And look, you can't go wrong with the 501 giveaways. You can't go wrong going to see Preds or Sounds or going to any concert that's at Bridgestone or anywhere else here in town. So be sure to stay tuned for that. We're going to have a couple more remotes, I believe, Junie, so stay tuned for that.
Our finale is actually going to be this upcoming week, so we'll give you some more information on that a little bit later. But the last thing I want to touch on from this week is, did you see Jim Wyatt's video that he tweeted out?
DeAndre
Hopkins, okay? First one-on-one of practice yesterday. You know, they didn't do it on Wednesday, but they did it on Friday. One-on-ones, receivers first, corners, and DeAndre Hopkins did a 9 route, just straight fly up the field on Christian Fulton, and he just absolutely mossed on this man. One-handed grab.
He
it was disgusting.
Smoked him. And by the way, I do want to correct myself. Josh was back. I wanted to go back and check Teron's Twitter. So Josh was back, but no Jamarco Jones, who's been really big on Vrabel's brain, and he likes him. So that's just one thing to keep an eye on as well. But really, like Vrabel even said earlier, it's very early. But to not have someone out there is notable, but to have them come back is just as notable. But yeah, that grab, Jerry was saying yesterday, you know, D-Hop's back. Well, D-Hop's been this way for a while, hadn't he? I don't really think he's back.
When he's been in the game, I know he dealt with an injury in 21. He had the suspension last year. When he's played, he's looked like that.
Yes.
And, you know, when Julio first got here, it did not look like Julio Jones. But let me tell you something. We were there on Wednesday. We did not go out to practice yesterday, but this man, DeAndre Hopkins, looks like DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes.
Something else to note of this week, the Tennessee Titans signed veteran tackle Chris Hubbard, 32-year-old, 9-year NFL veteran who has spent most of his time with the Pittsburgh Steelers and Cleveland Browns, has started 49 games. I would say outside of a handful, he's played those 49 starts at right tackle. So that's something that we're going to get into a little bit later when we discuss the offensive line. But coming up next, Joe Rexroad on The Athletic came out with a 53-man roster prediction. Me and D-Mace discussed it a little bit on Wednesday when I was on Caroline Willie and D-Mace, but I want to discuss some of this with Nick Kieser in our takeaways from Joe's pre-camp predictions. We're going to get into that next. You're listening to Riddle and Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
All right, TD, last thing for you here. I know it's only been one day, but what were your impressions from Hopkins on Wednesday?
Yeah, I tell you what, and Jarrett, dare I quote Jarrett, he made a very, very good comparison and for that situation where he said it was like in Madden when you trade for a player and that player just comes in and there's no real assimilation process. He just comes in and knows everything right away, you know, because that's how it works in the video games. That's how Hopkins was, honestly. I appreciated the way he talked to the younger receivers. I'm talking about even just coming out before they started individual period. He shook every one of their hands, you know what I mean? And then you see he and Burks on the side talking and going over some things. And then he, Tannehill, along with Burks, all went to the side field during special teams with some of the offensive coaches, and they worked on top of the route stuff. And then right away, he gets involved. Three of Tannehill's first five passes, 7-on-7, they went to DeAndre Hopkins. So there's definitely already, involvement from him. And I think that's big. And he caught everything that came his way. And there was one that was incomplete. But still, I was impressed with that.
That was TD yesterday when he joined Robbie and Rexrode like he does at 8 o'clock on every single Friday. Talking about DeAndre Hopkins and his impact that he had on the first day of training camp. Junie Riddle, Nick Kieser, welcome back into Riddle and the Reporter. Speaking of training camp, tune into the Chase McCabe Show and Caroline, Willie, and D-Maze 3 days next week as they broadcast live from Titans training camp on Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. They'll get player interviews and deliver the latest updates with Titans practice as the team preps for the 2023 season. Coverage of Titans training camp is presented by Simmons Bank Open, Parman Energy, and Caudill Vet Clinic. And let me tell you, when TD talks about, he did quote Jared on, it was like picking up a player in Madden, and it's like they automatically knew what to do. It's exactly what it looked like.
Yeah, it was.
Three of the first five passes straight to D-Hop, getting him going. It looks seamless. Mm-hmm. First 2 days, D-Hop is the story of Titans training camp.
Oh, he 100% is, and that was a good analysis by TD. And better yet, D-Hop backed it up with another one-handed catch. He's been popping off on social media all week for the most part, really since he signed, and people have been clapping at him, and he's been clapping back, and he's been giving some sass, and I like his personality, quite frankly. He's a guy that I feel like is going to consistently challenge you to think different ways about him, and on the field as well. He's not a major talker from what I've seen, but when he does talk, oh, man, he backs himself up like it's nothing. So to see him ball out at camp is not shocking whatsoever, Junie. But that one-handed catch he had over Christian Fulton yesterday,
it was disgusting.
He mossed him.
It was disgusting. We're going to head over to the phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, or text line, I'm sorry, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wes from Hermitage, we were just talking about the game summer ticket tour. Wes from Hermitage says, thank you so much for the Daniel Tosh tickets. Can't wait. Glad to meet a few of y'all. Junie, you're the man, bro. I did give him the Daniel Tosh tickets. Wes from Hermitage came out to Homegrown in Donaldson, and he was one of the winners. Like I said, we got rid of a lot of tickets. So be like Wes from Hermitage and stop by the game.
There you go.
But we teased it before the break.
Yes.
We're going to get into Joe Rexrode's article on The Athletic talking about his 53-man roster projections. All in all, I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it. But there are a few things that I would personally change.
Okay.
One of which, it starts with the running back position. He has four running backs making this team.
Hmm.
I don't think that's necessary. He has four running backs and three edge rushers.
Okay.
If I would flip-flop those. When you got Derrick Henry getting the production that Derrick Henry gets,
mm-hmm.
and Tajay Spears is supposed to come in and supplement that.
Sure.
Right? That's going to take over 90-95% of the snaps at running back right there. Then that leaves you a guy like a Julius Chestnut who can play special teams. Mm-hmm. He's a return guy. He has that capability.
Uh-huh.
I think you only need three, especially when you have Derrick Henry. And then when it comes to outside linebacker, you know, he has Harold Landry, Arden Key, and Rashad Weaver. And the guy that I would add is the Caleb Murphy kid out of Ferris State that had the 25-plus sacks. I talk about, like, TD talks about this kid. He's the one that really put me on him. I think he has to be in the mix. And you need to have at least four edge rushers because that's such a key position that you need to have a good, solid rotation. So take away a running back for me, add an edge rusher, and I think it's going to be that kid, Caleb Murphy.
Right, and I think that's a solid add to the line, and I think he would be someone to keep an eye on going into preseason as well. There's a couple of storylines, and I'm going to go ahead and get out in front of this, but I really think that we're going to have a really good battle at kicker. You and I were talking about that on the sidelines, actually. It was a brief little discussion, but it wasn't that long of a time to see those reps in front of us. They didn't miss a field goal. I think it's literally going to come down to a couple of different misses or some different looks during the preseason, not even at practice. I think it's going to come down to, all right, you both have tremendous talent. You both can be great kickers, but one thing that I think sets apart one from the other is just strictly size, And I feel like at times when I've looked at the most popular kickers that have the power and the length to their kicks, they both have both of those things that I just mentioned toward the end. But one thing I'm looking for is the durability, and I would rather get a guy like Caleb Shudak in there. I think he's looked pretty good. I think Wolf has looked really good as well. But like I said, it's going to look very unique. But also another guy that we can take off of Joe's 53-man that did not sign with the Titans.
George Fant.
Is George Fant. He's with the Texans. At least he did sign Junie, but he is not going to be part of the two-tone blue moving forward. So we'll see what that ends up looking like. We already talked about what the Titans did instead of adding him. But also, too, I think at tight end, I think it's pretty good there. I was taking a look there. I really was interested to see Josh on the first day, but we didn't get to see him then. He was there yesterday, but we weren't there. Would have liked to have seen him a little bit more. But I thought, too, kind of going back to what I saw from the D-line, going back to that first day, I did look a little bit at Tyre Tarte and some of those drills when I was back behind the goalpost back there early on in practice, and I liked the way that he was moving around personally. He was underrated last season. I'd like to see how he moves around this year as well, but I really like that pick from Joe as well. It's kind of a duh pick, but I think he'll make it in there. I think it'll be seamless. And then my last one I kind of want to hit on really quick was Arden Key. You hear that guy. You hear him everywhere, and I love that. And that's a guy you would love to have on anybody's team, but the way he's vocal goes a long way.
I like Arden Key as well. He actually sat with Derek and I when we were broadcasting from Titans training camp. And let me tell you, like, he was genuinely exhausted. Like, they blew the horn and practice was over and they all met in the middle of the field. And, you know, Vrabel had a couple words to say. And then immediately, Robbie Bourne brought him over to us and, he sat and talked with him. I mean, he was huffing and puffing. You can just tell that this is a guy that's not only vocal, but he gives it all every single day, every single rep. And for me, you know, Arden Key kind of being that third guy in Jacksonville, that edge rusher that would come off the bench. I like that he has this energy because it makes me feel like he can really seize this opportunity to more than likely be the starter across from Harold Landry. So seeing that, I'm really hopeful for what he brings, and the way that he has been showing up in practice has been really
good.
So
I think that's great. Now, one question I have for you is, do you really feel like six corners are going to make this team? Do you feel like one person could potentially not make the cut? And I love that Christian Fulton is there, but he is the guy that has the most question marks for me on defense.
Well, I mean, Christian Fulton is definitely going to make this team.
He will, but I still have a lot of questions with him.
I mean, of course we have questions due to injury, but, you know, when Christian Fulton is in the game, I mean, the guy makes a difference.
And the reason I'm bringing it up, too, is I feel like Roger McCreary will have a bounce-back season, I feel like. You know, he was a rookie last year, but this is a young team, and I feel like they, with all the experience they garnered last year from playing in those games, getting those valuable reps, it's going to go a long way. And they add a veteran like Sean Murphy. You know, I think that was a strong pick on their end too. But
I see. I don't know about Sean Murphy, but
really,
again, we're going to get more into details about, you know, what's we're seeing at practice and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But some of the things from Sean Murphy bunting has me kind of questioning his capability and where he fits in this offense. Elijah Molden in that cornerback room, he's coming back from injury. We've actually been seeing him be put at safety a bit as well.
Yeah, I was
he's going back and forth between the two.
He's been back there. I think they're trying to make him kind of like that Swiss Army knife in the defense, and that's going to be something that you need. I feel like the adjustment that Vrabel and his coaching staff has made is the way that they've had to go off of so many different key guys. What I've kind of picked up on is he's trying to get guys to learn positions and kind of be there for one another too.
Yeah.
And so I want to see more of that. But if you have a healthy roster and you want to throw off the offense, well, you could swap around a couple of guys in the secondary and see what that kind of looks like. Not all the time, but definitely you could give teams different looks.
Yeah.
But I do like that there's at least one guy that's interchangeable currently.
So the reason I like six cornerbacks is just purely because of special teams. Vrabel mentioned this in one of his press conferences, that they have a lot of faith in Ryan Stonehouse to punt the ball long, and they need gunners to really run down there and get to the ball and beat some of those double-team jammings on the punt team. And so I think guys like Trey Avery and Chris Jackson, who are lower on that depth chart, you know, they got some significant time due to injury last year. I think that they're going to be important keys. But overall, like, I really like what Joe Rexroad has here. You know, obviously outside of George Fant, he got signed by the Texans. And then also, you know, they pick up Hubbard instead. The whole running back and edge rusher thing. I just think edge rusher is much more important. So we will have to see with that. But coming up next, we are going to have the Predators' seventh round pick, David Poyle's last ever draft selection as Predators GM. We're going to speak with Aiden Fink coming up next. You're listening to Riddle and the Reporter on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back into Riddle and the Reporter. This segment, we got a very special guest coming on with us. Predators' seventh round pick. You're going to hear it locally in a trivia question somewhere, some way in a couple years. Who was David Poyle's last ever selection? We got Aiden Fink on the show with us. Aiden, how are we doing this morning?
We're doing well. How are we doing there?
Now we're doing great. It's a beautiful day up here in Nashville. Where are you at around this time of year?
I'm in Penn State right now, so it's a little rainy out right now, but I'm sure the weather will pick up by the afternoon here.
So, Aiden, I got to ask you here, man. You know, going through the draft, the Predators had to make a trade with the New Jersey Devils to move up and come and get you. When you were selected by the Predators and David Poyle in Nashville, did you realize at the time the significance of that pick when you were selected?
Yeah, actually, it was a weird story. I was just getting out of L.A. class when I got the call from my my agent when that happened. So I didn't really know it was a big deal until my dad sent me the video of David Poyle's last pick. And, you know, it's a special pick, and I'm going to be a special player for him.
Absolutely. So, you know, you were you here at all for the draft in Nashville, or did you stay away?
No, I was actually in Penn State. I started school about 2 days earlier, so it was a weird experience, but it was an awesome experience that I'll never forget.
So what is something that you've heard about Nashville, maybe about the Predators organization in general, that really attracts you to the team? And also just something personally, like what's it about Nashville in general that you've heard or seen about that you look forward to going and doing once you get here?
Yeah, obviously the fans in Nashville are unbelievable. You know, those playoff games, I love to watch Nashville playoff games. It's always electric in that rink. That's something I'm very excited about. And then just Nashville, I've heard it's a great city. You know, fans and everyone, the organization is awesome, I heard. So, you know, I'm really excited to be a part of Nashville's organization.
Aiden, thank you so much for joining us this morning, but I want to start off here with you as well, and I know that you just came out of playing in the Alberta Junior Hockey League not that long ago, the last two seasons there. You're at Penn State, like you had mentioned, but I like to circle back here. I saw you initially had committed to Wisconsin, but now you flipped over to Penn State, made that transition for you, but I'm curious, what kind of led to that just movement for you going into your freshman year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the coach that recruited me at Wisconsin got fired, unfortunately. You know, Tony Granato, he's an awesome guy, and I wish I would play for him, but you know, that happened, and then Penn State kind of just gained my attention, and then you know, I just talked to my agent about it, and I think Penn State would be the best move for me. So that's kind of what changed my mind, but you know, I'm excited to be here. You know, we're going to have a really good team this year, and we're going to try to win a national championship again this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Colin Graf from DevCamp, that was an invite, has tons of experience with that, so that might be a good little link for you, and you might see him some this year. But yeah, Aiden, so I know that back at DevCamp, I kind of want to circle back here as well, is just what were your main takeaways from camp, and who are maybe some guys that you kind of maybe learned from during your time here in Nashville?
Yeah, I mean, the whole coaching staff, all those practices, all those track events, all those workouts were definitely a good lesson that I could take here to Penn State. You know, the guys that were there were all great to me. You know, even the players. My cousin was there. He was drafted, I think, in 2020. His name's Luke Reed. So, you know, that was real nice to see him and learn after him. But, yeah, no, I learned after everyone. I've definitely taken a lot of things from that camp back to Penn State that I'm going to work on.
And Aiden, too, kind of going back, I had already mentioned you were coming from the AJHL, and you've done quite a bit of winning over there from what I've noticed. So what are kind of just the main takeaways that you had as a younger skater playing in a league that is pretty renowned over there in Western Canada?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Brooks is a great organization. The last 2 years were one of the best years of my life in terms of winning. You know, I had really good records in the two years, played with really good players. And yeah, we were a winning organization, won two national championships with them. So, you know, I'm very excited that I played there. I wouldn't have wanted to play anywhere else, definitely for my junior hockey.
So, Aiden, I got one last one here for you. You're in a group of freshmen. You're one of five guys on the roster that'll be fresh faces to the team. And I'm just kind of curious, what do you hope to get out of your first year experience playing NCAA hockey under head coach Guy Gadowski?
Yeah, I definitely want to learn after Guy. You know, he's a fantastic coach. I've talked to him a couple times already this summer, just about the team and all that. So, you know, I'm definitely very excited to learn after the freshmen and all the upperclassmen. I think that's going to be my biggest thing on the ice. I think it's going to be a battle every day. So that's what I'm most excited for there. And Gad is an unbelievable coach. Same with Pegs and Fish. So, you know, they're definitely going to develop me. And, you know, I'm very excited for however many years I have here.
We're talking to Aiden Fink, 7th round pick for the Nashville Predators. Aiden, when you were here for developmental camp, is there any of the other young prospects for the Preds that you kind of built a relationship with and maybe just had some natural chemistry with when you all played and practiced in your time here?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's a great player there. I couldn't pick one that I had chemistry with. You know, I had chemistry every time I went in a drill. So I couldn't pick one player, but I could pick the whole team, the whole prospects there. So,
absolutely. And so, before you know, being drafted by the Predators, were there any of the veterans on the team that you grew up watching, grew up looking up to, maybe modeling your game after? Did you ever catch any Preds games and be like, man, you know, I really like this player. This guy's really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I live in Canada, so it's pretty tough for me to get Preds games, but. Definitely a couple guys. You know, I loved watching, even though he's a goalie, I loved watching Pekka Rinne. He was an unbelievable player. Yeah, but, you know, I didn't really get to catch a lot of Preds games, but, you know, I just know that their fans are and their organization is very, like, great.
Appreciate the time today, Aiden. That's Aiden Fink, 7th round pick for the Nashville Predators. Thank you for joining us, and best of luck with your season in college hockey playing for Penn State.
Thanks, Aiden.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Again, Aiden Fink, 7th round pick of the Nashville Predators. And, you know, you were talking about Aiden in at developmental camp, and he was one of the guys that you really looked at as somebody that was making an impact when he came in. So as a 7th round pick, that might be a really good grab for this team going forward.
I think it could be. And going into just his first year at Penn State, that's notable. And keep in mind, too, what he said there that kind of stood out to me was he wants to see how these next few years go. And what I'm kind of getting from that is you just never know the kind of leap that you can take in your own development, because he could sign that first deal. He could end up being with the Preds organization and playing with the Admirals or playing in the ECHL, trying to grind his way up to the NHL at some point. And so the Preds have had some success here in the last few years, I would say, from those later draft picks. I mean, look at what the Predators got out of Juuso Parsonen. And that's a good point, too. I completely forgot that his cousin is Reed. And I saw that kind of, you know, happen during camp. And looking back at what Aiden was able to do at camp, I believe he was quick. He was on the pucks as fast as possible. Not only that, but he was accurate. And when you're accurate at camp and you stand out to the coaches, that's going to go a long way. And not only are you in front of Barry Trotz and some of the guys that you're looking at in terms of maybe some scouts. You're also in front of Carl Taylor, who's also in the AHL too, but you're also working on the ice with the Milwaukee Admirals assistant coaches. So they've seen it firsthand. I think Aiden will be an explosive player as a freshman on Penn State's offense. I'm not sure if he'll be the best forward on their offense, but he's going to have to earn his stripes here, I feel like, here in the next few weeks as he gets going, because they'll end up starting their season pretty soon. And I'm pretty positive, I haven't looked at their schedule, but he will more than likely be going up against a guy like Matthew Wood in college.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking. You know, does Penn State play UConn this year? And if so, is that a game that we're going to have to tune into? I mean, definitely looking at it here. Now, I'm looking at some of his stats that he had with the Brooks Bandits in the AJHL. 54 games, 97
yeah,
points.
I know. He is tore
like,
it up.
Like, is that common? Is this just it like is. A really small league or something? So, like he lit that league up.
So funny enough, I think no, it wasn't Ryan Johansson, but Ryan Johansson played in a similar league. It's a smaller league. It's not semi pro. It's kind of like the step you take before you go play like juniors, kind of like where Tanner Mullendyke and some of these other kids from Canada got drafted. So you'll play there when you're kind of around like that high school age. You'll get some guys that are close to like their 20s that are playing there, but they're all really young. But the fact that he put up that many points in less than 60 games, 50-something games, it's impressive.
So, again, that's 97 total points in 54 games, 41 goals, 56 assists. And just in comparison, looking at his stats on the same team in the same league, the year prior he played in 60 games and only had 53 points total. So a really, really big job. I mean, you're talking about 44 more points the following season and playing in six less games.
I know. He went off. And that was one thing. When I looked him up a couple months ago to see what he was kind of looking like, he could be another steal for the Preds in the later parts of the draft. It'll take him a couple of years. I feel like some of these guys that are in school, you know, another guy too is Sutter Muzadi, who's in college too. Some of the kids that are in college, let them go through their years. Let them go through what it's like to be a college kid. You know, Aiden's fresh into it. I think he'll be there for a couple of years. He's going to take school probably a little more seriously, which is good for him. But also, too, of note, he wants to go in a national championship. You know, Colin Graf, he was a guy I just did a story on, and he did win the national championship with Quinnipiac. And that was probably a guy he looked at during camp. You know, Colin was a bigger skater than him, but he knows what it takes to win. So now he's seen what some of these guys look like and what the pace looks like. But, two, Penn State was in the NCAA tournament last year. They ended up losing in overtime to Michigan, but then Michigan ended up playing against, I believe, Quinnipiac in the next round after they beat them. So they were right there. So it could have been something special for Penn State. They're probably going to build on that as best as they can, and Aiden's going to be part of it.
It's going to be definitely something we're going to be looking forward towards the future, watching Aiden and how he progresses. And, you know, this is going to give us some college hockey to look forward to this upcoming season, especially as the Predators, you know, rookie camp comes up in the next couple weeks. We are going to keep you informed no matter how excited we are about football season started. We always got to make sure that we're keeping up with some of these awesome young Preds prospects. But coming up next, we are going to be diving into the Titans training camp the next two segments, and we're going to be talking about some of the positives and some of the negatives. We're going to start with the positives. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com. We want you to hop into this conversation with some of our takeaways. You're listening to Riddle and the Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
What does D-Hop bring to the wide receiver room?
Confidence. And, I mean, really everything. He just shows you, like, just be yourself. That's the main thing, being yourself, just going out and having fun. And it shows, you know, him going up, making plays, and, you know, coming back, doing it again. It just shows that he's just having fun doing what he loves to do. And I'm just saying that just makes you want all to do the same. So.
In media, we call this talking season. It's just...
That was Treylon Burks talking to Caroline Willie and D-Mace yesterday from Titans training camp. And he was asked, what does DeAndre Hopkins bring to this team? And Treylon Burks simply said, he brings confidence. I like that answer from Treylon Burks, and I like what I've been seeing from DeAndre Hopkins. And this segment we teased beforehand, we're going to talk about the positives that we saw. You know, you and I were there on Wednesday. We were not there yesterday. So a few different things happened. We can get into that a little bit. But what we saw from positives on Wednesday, the number one takeaway for me was I saw a lot of reps with Ryan Tannehill to DeAndre Hopkins, mm-hmm. Treylon Burks, Chig Okonkwo, and my X factor this season, Kyle Phillips.
Yeah, they looked really good. And there's a lot to look into in terms of Chig, I feel like. And Robbie's called shot on Friday. This was crazy, but I think it could happen.
Okay.
Chig Okonkwo will lead the Titans in touchdowns this year.
Oh, I don't think that's crazy at all.
I think that is a bold pick for sure, but I also want to see for myself what a motivated DeAndre Hopkins looks like, and I'm seeing it currently because remember, too, some of these things are incentive-based for his contract, and he's going to try to squeeze every little ounce of money he probably can out of the Two-Tone Blue organization. And that is something I'm going to always consider when it's DeAndre, but also how healthy he can be. And I feel like after missing six games this year, you know, it's kind of like when you're making time up, you know, from break or something, or you have that time that you want to utilize now that you have it back. Well, he didn't have six games last year.
Yeah.
It's time for him to explode, I feel like, offensively. So I'm excited to see what D-Hop brings. I felt like the other connection, too, that you didn't bring up that I was watching more of was the quarterbacks. And you and I watched extensively how they were making reads, how they were making throws, who they were throwing them to. And I felt like, yes, Malik has made progress. That was the biggest positive for me, specifically with him. He was making progress on his reads, but he's still taking his time pass by pass, play by play, looking for those guys. I know it's not necessarily the same guys that Tannehill is throwing to.
Yeah.
However, it's his progression. It's his progress. He was looking okay, I felt like, at the start. I felt like the defense challenged him even more so as we went along. But I felt like, too, that Levis, he looked comfortable in his own skin, too. And I felt like the confidence that is oozing from him based on from some of his workouts, carrying it into what they're doing now, it's a really interesting battle to pay close attention to. I mean, after last year, seeing what Malik was able to do against the Chiefs, yeah, it's one great game you can see. It was a loss. They challenged Mahomes and the Chiefs. But now it's about expounding on what you can do in the preseason and training camp, and I feel like that's going to be a pretty close battle.
So Jim Wyatt came on the other day, and he was talking about Willis versus Levis. So, Frazier, if we could go to that audio on Wyatt talking about this quarterback battle in the preseason.
And the winner gets QB2. I mean, how close do you think this is right now?
Yeah, it's interesting because I'll be honest with you. I mean, I don't know. I think Willis, you know, from the time the offseason started, I think at the beginning, I think a lot of people had a lot of doubts about him and whether he'd be on this roster this year and, you know, how quickly would it be before, you know, Willis just took over that two spot and didn't look back. And then the way his offseason went, I mean, I thought he looked good in all of these OTAs and the mini camp and very clear he made progress. And then watching Willis, I mean, I think he showed some growing pains, and he's a rookie. That was kind of to be expected. The conversation kind of changed. And, you know, sitting here today, July the 27th, I mean, as camp just gets in the way, I mean, I kind of feel like now they're going to keep three quarterbacks. And, you know, how that quickly they feel like they've got to decide who the two is going to be, I'm not sure. I do think that's all you're going to see in the preseason. I don't think we see Ryan Tannehill at all. I'd be surprised if we did. And I kind of feel like entering camp, Willis is the two, and I think he'll get some of the early reps in these games, and they'll give both guys a chance. That's what they did last year when it was Willis and Woodside. So, I'm curious to see how it looks when things really get real. And you've got games, you've got joint practices against the Vikings and the Patriots, and there's more pressure on both of these guys. And that's what's going to make preseason and training camp fun this year, is just to kind of see how that goes with the two QBs.
So that was Jim Wyatt talking to Robbie and Rex Road about the backup quarterback battle. And that was one of the positive takes away. Now, we were not at practice yesterday, but I heard from, you know, when Jared was on yesterday, I was out there with him at Homegrown, and he had mentioned that Joe said that neither of them looked really good yesterday. So, again, you know, it's one day. They're going to have their ups and downs. But, you know, and I talked about this with Derek on Wednesday when we were there at practice, that I thought both of them looked really good to start. You had mentioned they were doing that whole, drop step drill when they were going, you know, weaving through the dummies and then throwing into those little target pockets that have been circulating all over social media. And Willis does really good with that drill. And I was like, okay, you know, Willis is looking really sharp with that. And Levis always seems to struggle in that drill, overthrowing it. And I heard him yell out in frustration. I was like, okay, here we go. But then when we got into, you know, 7-on-7, like you alluded to, you know, you and I were sitting together on the sidelines, and we were kind of making our observations from that. And every single time Willis dropped back, after I noticed his first rep, I started counting. I'd be like, one, Mississippi, two, Mississippi, three.
You did.
And in the NFL, and I mean, really in any kind of elite football, whenever, you know that you got to get the ball out within 3 seconds.
Yes.
And yes, Willis did look very much so improved. Mm-hmm. Everything about his game looked better. But the one thing that I need to see him do is to make more clear-cut, fast decisions. And on Wednesday, from what I saw, Will Levis did that slightly better. I think right now, you know, a lot of people are putting Willis ahead because, you know, he looked better in OTAs and in minicamp. But I think, you know, going into training camp, these two guys are neck and neck.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I was being told by some members of the media there at camp, that apparently they're really close. Although
they're
competing, that they're really good friends and that they're going to be motivating each other to do well. And I love that. I think that's a good, healthy competition that we're going to see. And I look forward to seeing who's going to be the best man that's going to win.
And you know what, too? I think the beautiful part to all of this is it's a good problem to have if you are Mike Vrabel. But I do want to see how the preseason goes, Junie. It's been a fun battle to watch so far.
I will say this before we go to the top of the hour. Once the pads come on, once those pads are put on the shoulders of these quarterbacks, we'll definitely know who's going to be the man amongst the boys.
Absolutely.
I'll put it to you this way. Last year when they drafted Malik Willis, I was ultra excited to watch Titans preseason. This year with Levis and Willis, I mean, my excitement has doubled since then. So I'm going to be really watching every single preseason game just to watch all these reps that both of these guys are going to have. So good positive takeaways on the offense. But there were some negatives, and there was a negative in a position that I have been talking about for months, and there's a specific player that I have got to call out. We're going to get into that next. Hour number two of Riddle and the Reporter coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.